Stos, a narrative poem by Alexander Korotko, translated and read by Michael Persklov, published by Glagoslav Publications in 2026. Even in freedom, there is no freedom. Canto 1. 100 grams of Kolyma. Part 1. Nights with no sky, kept upright by the centrifuge of winds over the abyss of Gulag, stands a table, and on it vodka, in the faceted glass of Kolyma. The candle of the moon peeks through the prison window, bound in ice, and warms the dreams of Stos that soar above his native land, his beloved Ukraine. And here it is, the spider of the swastika, lurking in the corner of Kolyma, and capturing in its web the shadows of weakened Zeks. The emery disk of the earth grinds the poet's soul, also his pen. On the whirling clock face, time counts the vertebrae of minutes and binds together days and years into one drawn-out howl. Here there are no other chants, nor can there be. The hills of Magadan, the Bactrian camels stand frozen like wardens in the lotus position, with the eternal lawlessness of this region. Dream cloud, dream island suspended over the permafrost. Part 2. I cursed my visions, and like a Fata Morgana, sunset crimsoned, and you floated into my embrace. You held your son by the hands. I knew you would never reach the shore, and I did not take my eyes off the ship. Why did you say, come back, I can wait no longer? And the wasps of your words stung me so painfully that I could hardly stand. Whose voice can I hear? Could it be my own? Well, hello, my little street, hello, my home. But my home says nothing. My home is deafened. My home is blinded. My home does not recognize me. Only the creaking of its porch gives away its suffering. The prison slop of days, like a squirrel in a tree hollow, gnaws at the pine nuts of my eyes. But the tears, red and dry, burn like scarlet flags over the blazing sunset of my fate and keep love alive. Vasil, who are you? I am me, and I am my country. I am my people, and I cannot be broken, nor she, nor us, for as long as we live by faith. Psychologically, I understand that the prison gate was already there, open and waiting for me, that one day it would close behind me, and for a long time. What was I supposed to do? Ukrainians are not allowed to go abroad. But I wasn't all that eager anyway, because who then, here in our great Ukraine, will become a voice of indignation and protest? This is destiny, and destiny is not chosen, and thus it is accepted, whatever lies in store. And when it is not accepted, then it forcibly chooses us. Canto 2. Permafrost. Odysseus' numerous ways of solitude, and you sought your white way like winter obstinacy. And that was why the snow in July and hermetic night and life to you appeared eternal. In the taiga, in Mordovia, you hid your tears in the ice, like children hide their secrets in their childhood. And that was how the truth about you was preserved and grew through the cynical permafrost of hounded times. The winds read Verhen to you, and Rilski, and Bajan, while, curled up like a snail, you slept in the palms of their cold, sensuous hands. When I was 9 years old, we were building a hut. Meanwhile, my dad was dying, bloated with hunger. We would push a wheelbarrow, knead clay, make daub, put up the walls. I was hungry as a dog. My entire childhood was me with a wheelbarrow. Now we would bring potatoes in from the field, and I would set off towards the allotment, a sack in hand, to pluck the grass, be it for a cow or a goat. Canto 3, Mama. Mama. Only silence in reply. The heartbeat of imaginings paints out of black and white revelations a graphic portrait of you. Mama. In your eyes, charred by tears, I see the ashy sky moulded out of the leaden thunderclouds over cornfields. Mama, why do you collect ears of corn? So as not to die from hunger, my son. I am lonely, and you are lonely. We live at opposite poles of love. You too, forgive me. Better still, don't forgive. My dear, there's no need to cry. I would cry myself now if I could. And all the while I kept forgetting you. It's so painful, Mama. Oh, it's so painful that it defies words. Forgive me. Forgive me, my dearest, if you can. Better still, don't forgive. Canto 4, The Prison Camp. Fractions of days and a warder from my area. The milk of dawn had not gone sour while the bathhouse of the rising day was heating up, reminiscent of the red flag. And the moon, a roly-poly toy, embarked on a prison shakedown all over the camp, assisted by insomnia, and the cavalry of insane winds was turning up the heat, and the star shone forth from the top screw's epaulette, while the Zeks were brewing extra strong tea for a good high, and the life of the tea kettle was at full steam, keeping pace with our century. And a fellow from Ukraine, a guard in the watchtower, happy and naive, seemed human. I remember the first time I went to the Philharmonic. I remember attending a series of lectures on Beethoven, all 9 symphonies and many concertos, and how wonderful are those sonatas of his, and what a man he was. His whole life, in grief, in misery and torment, and he alone against the whole world wins. That is, he does not yield to his assailants, but fights his way through. Either the world shall accept me as I am, as I have been born by my mother, or else it will kill me. It will destroy me. But I will not give in. Canto 5, Confession. Forgive me, my son. I have been a Don Quixote from childhood and travelled from prison camp to prison camp. You will retort it was my wish. No, my son, not mine. It was the duty imposed by our fate. Here's the camp of childhood, an islet of Stalinist happiness, proud omen of accomplishments, where the steel of the land of Soviets was tempered. Here I served my first term of hunger and poverty and paid in full my tax on the humiliating joy. And then the level crossings, the train halts, the lights that twinkled in the dark. And in this chain of interrogations and denunciations, I found myself at dawn in Kolyma. I remember how in 1946, 1947, I was grazing someone else's cow. For that, I was fed. But I knew my mother was hungry and that I shouldn't eat by myself, and was asking for a permission to take the bowl back home with me so that I could eat together with my mother. Once I brought the bowl, but my mother started reprimanding me severely, crying, telling me never to do it again. Thing was, she was starving, and it was hard for her to even look at food. As for me, the spoon was sticking in my mouth. Canto 6, My Destiny, Part 1. Tell me, poet, where in the spiritual transcendent summit is that cliff after whose image and likeness you have been created? Tell me, poet, which paths have taken you towards Kipling and Rilke? I know your answer. It accords with my heart and soul and reflects that spirit of freedom that you feel every moment. Part 2. Smoky palms of thunderclouds and cumuli of a star, a pursuit of nocturnal fate. I am but a step away from disaster. I am unbreakable. Futile are their barbaric courts. Whether my way is down from the mountain or a climb up the mountain, it's not for me to judge. God's will be done. It leads me as a guide. This is my destiny. And that, my son, is what makes it easier to breathe and live. So live and value freedom. It is our destiny to live like this. It's ours and the Ukrainian people's. Never in a camp was it previously forbidden to strip to your waist during a walk. Here they forbid it and punish anyone who tries to catch a bit of sun. Searches are being conducted extremely arbitrarily. They take whatever they wish, even without a seizure note or notice. We've lost any right to own ourselves, let alone owning books, notebooks, personal records. They say when the Lord wants to punish someone, he takes away their mind. This cannot go on for long. Such pressure can only be endured before death. I don't know when death will come for them, but I, personally, feel I'm on death row. Canto 7, Lullaby. My disfigured life, with its intricate pattern of X-ray nights, with bruises of dawn on the horizon's pedestal. The prison bars of rains are singing me a lullaby of separation, grieving for my freedom, while, as if to a beggar in front of the cathedral of Soviet life, flunkies hurl copper coins into my face. And here I am confessing my guilt towards you, my dearest ones, Valya, Dmitro. I am your jailer. I am your tormentor, and by the will of fate, your executioner. I remember one old man, hungry himself. He once caught an ailing baby dove, still yellow-billed. It had a damaged leg and was feeding it with bread from his mouth and giving it water to drink. That dove followed him, hopping as if he were its father. And then what? The dove recovered, grew up, gained strength. I don't know if it thanked him or not. That's not the point. And if it did, how it did so. But in my memory, as long as I live, will live that destitute old man, and the doves descending onto his shoulders, arms, palms, and head. The old man is no longer with us. And because I saw it, and other people saw it too, the world has become a better place. And I and others would like to live like that, so that the doves would perch on your shoulders. Canto 8, Gypsy Soul, Part 1. I'll tell you this about myself. My soul is full of gypsy songs. I live in an encampment full of stars, in a caravan of sunny nights. I fly through the sky of my fate, and my pain is my happy road. It is not sympathy I seek, but those who are my equal in spirit. And my heart, like a sail, floats on winds and storms through the navigable veins of my rejected passions. Not I, but the Lord himself, has chosen this fate for me. And following this fate, I spend my blessed years. Part 2. The bread crust of life. That is the fate of the poet. Remove the cover from the skies, lightning and thunder, and then, gripped by fiery excitement, launch a barrage from every weapon on the earth. But don't forget the judges, the spawn of hell. But what's in it for the poet? Neither winter, nor summer, nor home, nor the world, and only one reward, Colima on the map. Somehow it so happened that I, a romantic since childhood, have wanted to belong to the same tribe, that of the unfettered gypsies, camping in places of their own choosing, the sights of their joy. This is fate, not an advantage, not a claim to something. Fate that is so confined on earth, fate for which, more often than not, there is simply no place on earth. Canto 9, Slop. Cattle wagons of years slither snake-like into your dreams, while ahead the rail trolley of days carries the seedlings of gulag slop through the labyrinth of five-year plans, and the salutes of Zek's tears like shrapnel are sculpting a sieve from a clay sky, while the military parade passes in formation through the red square of the country. Like the Great Wall of China, the Dnieper Dam has barricaded itself off from the people. And your thoughts, Stus, were like the Kobzer's songs. By this time, I was in about year 4 or 6, I knew almost all of Cobsoe by heart. And also, when my mum and I were hoeing potatoes, or breaking off young cobs of maize, or shelling ripe beans so pretty all over with those blue and navy dots, my mum would always sing, softly but well. Above my cradle, my mum would sing a lullaby to Shevchenko's lyrics. My son, oh my son, do not curse your father, but spare him a thought. As for me, the accursed, I'm your mother. So go on, blame me. Canto 10, River of Time, Part 1. Rilke, and not just any Rilke, Duino Elegy. That's where my soul finds kinship with yours. You say, who will hear my lament in the angels' choirs? Yes, I agree with you, and yet perhaps it will be heard nonetheless. You say, throw away the void from your hands into the space which we breathe. But how can I throw anything away while in a prison cell? You say, it's true we have a fear of leaving behind a known land. But it's been a long time since I paced over my native land, since I felt its presence, for what's under my feet, after all, is prisoned concrete, like a gravestone, and that is now my land. You say, it must be hard to be dead. I don't know what to answer you when I am here alive, as if half dead. Part 2. Vasil, I wouldn't survive a day in your likeness, yet your entire life has been like this. But the river of time flows not only from our birth to our death, it flows from the future into the present. And here you are at home in your native land. I don't know, Rilke, what to tell you in reply. Keep silent then, for the thoughts expressed through your words are already reaching me halfway across the snow of a white sheet of paper. I see you admire Svitaeva and remember Pasternak. I knew Pasternak and composed a dedication to Tsitaeva when she was still alive. She reciprocated with a long poem, posthumously true, but does it matter? It's not what we're talking about today. No one knows. I'll tell Rodin about you. No, don't. Why trouble his soul? Come on, he'll carve out of granite the sublime spirit of your freedom. You've chosen a less accomplished poem by Rilke. It must be from Neue Gedichte, his early collection of rough sketches, nothing more. This is not the Rilke I love. I love late Rilke, autumnal, crystallized. Canto 11, Over the Horizon. Jackal winds, the tunnels of prison corridors and the boots of murderers and rat catchers that live in the mousetrap of their rootless souls. The boots that torture, trample and batter to death the live voices of innocent silence. And dawn is serving time on the prison bunk of the horizon, and in the honeycombs of punishment cells, the right to reside there has been bestowed on you. Your guardians serve you the bitter honey of solitude as dessert. Community service is not my cup of tea, neither is politics, but what's to be done when decent people are being destroyed all round? Snow and clouds and rumours and the hunched and blighted Kalima Above the black waters, grey wisps like braids are trailing. It's your mother keening. Your mama. Ma. Canto 12. Until we meet again. The black cats of night gnaw at my soul. The centipedes of day drag themselves over the ground. I hospitably greet the sun, my abandoned source of joy, in secret from within the well of the camp. An ocean of suffering where I drown, I surface. Goodbye, Mama. Goodbye, Valya. Goodbye, Dimitro. I set up our meeting in heaven at the exquisite hour of all rendezvous. I seem to have lost all sense of reality because everything appears as a dream that I dreamed back in your house. Canto 13, Roots. Granny, why do we live century after century, sick at heart? Granny, why do we not murmur? Granny, when will there be an end to suffering and grief in Ukraine? Vasil, my darling grandson, I have lived a long life and am unlikely to see the time when Ukraine is free. But I know that day will come. Granny, how do you know this? Vasil, our Lord has told me. Granny, what should I do? Vasil, my precious grandson, hold fast to your roots and fight. Ours is this invincible weapon, love and kindness, and the truth is also on our side. I remember in 1951, I used to go visit my grandma in her village. I would gather ears of grain. A ranger chased after me through the stubble. I ran away, but he was riding a horse, a two-horse cart. He caught up with me, tried to snatch my satchel from my hands, and I bit his repulsive red hands. I got so angry that I wrestled my satchel back. And the next day, the stubble was ploughed through. Canto 14. Heaven. Storks build nests. I hear the music of summer. It smells of home, of wormwood, and the steps of separation. While the bars on the prison windows, like crowns of autumn trees, wave to the departing boy. I'm standing between the sky and sky, and in the inkwells of thunderclouds, nocturnal visions of restless maybugs bustle about like a precursor of vernal freedom, and the tips of feathers of geese at dawn revive as a rejection of the memory of fear, a herbarium of words that are like butterflies. I bequeath as a legacy to descendants the gulag of my pain for my country.